verse of Scripture we would like to leave with you this morning. It's found here in the 22nd chapter of Job and verse 21. Verse 21, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. The words of our text are taken from Eliphaz's final address to his friend Job. Eliphaz and his two companions, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, had come to comfort Job in his time of sorrow and his time of great distress. Now, we have often criticized Job's so-called comforters. But there are some things that we must commend them for. We must commend them, at least, for their loyalty to Job and for their love for their friend, even though at times they chose a strange way in which to demonstrate their loyalty and their love for their friend Job. But I would like you to turn, please, to Job chapter 2. And in Job chapter 2, we read there of Job's three friends paying him a visit upon hearing of Job's awful calamities and great distress. Verse 11, Job chapter 2, now when Job's three friends heard of all this evil that was come upon him, they came every one from his own place, Eliphaz the Temanite, and Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Naamathite, for they had made an appointment together to come to mourn with him and to comfort him. First thing we notice about Eliphaz and his two companions is their sympathy with Job. We're told that they made an appointment to come together to mourn with him and to comfort him. It is, of course, that in times of great loss that we really appreciate the sympathy of our friends. Just to have our friends around us is, of course, a source of great comfort. And it must have been, certainly at the beginning, a source of great comfort for Job just to have his three friends there. For they had come to mourn with him and to comfort him. And then we note their sorrow. We read in verse 12, and when they lifted up their eyes afar off and knew him not, they lifted up their voice and wept. So we see their sympathy and their sorrow. Whatever kind of individuals his three friends were, they were broken in heart when they saw the plight of Job. As they approached him, we're told that they lifted up their eyes and they looked upon him and they barely recognized him. Because from the head from the crown of his head to the sole of his feet. Poor Job had been afflicted with sore boils. They must have greatly disfigured Job. For when his friends looked upon him, they hardly recognized him. And this sight of Job broke them. And we are told that they lifted up their eyes and they wept. They wept with Job. And this is true sympathy indeed, true sorrow. And how we need to weep with those who weep. And how we need to enter into their sorrow and not stand afar off and distance ourselves from the sorrow of our brothers and sisters in Christ, but as much as we can and as possible, we need to enter into their sorrow. That is true sympathy. Note there in verse 13, we're told that they sat down with him upon the ground. They certainly entered in to Job's sorrows. They came down, as it were, to his level. They sat down there with him. Then I noticed something else that was very important. Very important, no doubt, to Job. Not only the sympathy and the sorrow with his friends, but also their silence. For we read in verse 13, so they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him. For they saw that his grief was very great. There's their silence. They were silent for 7 days. You know, when it comes to showing our sympathy and sorrow for those who are in great distress, we need to know when to speak. We need to know when not to speak. We need to know when to speak and when to be silent. There are some times when we greet someone who has perhaps lost a loved one, just to be there and just to weep with them is sufficient. Sometimes we don't have to say anything. Sometimes our silence ministers unto them. It most certainly must have ministered to Job. Job would have been in no mood for talking or explaining, trying to explain anything, having lost practically everything he had, including his children. So Eliphaz and the others just sat down there with him, and they just sat there. Their presence was enough for Job. And then I noticed something else. I noticed their sensitivity. For I'm told in verse 13, so they sat down with him upon the ground 7 days and 7 nights, and none spake a word unto him. Why did they not speak one word unto him for 7 days and 7 nights, we're told? For they saw that his grief was great. They were sensitive to Job's grief. They opened their eyes. They could see his grief. Therefore, they knew that it would be better for them if they kept silent and said nothing. This is a great virtue, sensitivity. We, of course, see it in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. How sensitive the Lord was to the needs of others. How sensitive the Lord was when others were in sorrow and were bereaved. I think especially of that time the Lord Jesus went with Jairus. Just those little words, Jesus went with him. He went with him. Why, it's good to have the Lord with us and going with us in our times of sorrow and suffering. To know the Lord will go with us. And here, Job's three friends were with him. They were sensitive to his needs, and that's why, they said nothing. And that then leads us to their speeches. They each one came to Job, Eliphaz, Bildad, and Zophar. They all had something to say. And really, it's at this point that we tend to lose all sympathy for Job's three friends. They started out all right. But then they began to question Job and teach Job and instruct Job. We find regarding their speeches that Eliphaz addressed Job three times. Bildad addressed Job three times. Zophar addressed Job twice. And then we discover that later on they were joined by another of Job's friends, a young man by the name of Elihu, who also had something to say to Job. But Job's first three friends, as they addressed Job, they tried to use philosophy. You look at their three speeches, or the speeches of the three men, and really it's philosophy. Were they trying to comfort Job with philosophy? If they were, it didn't work and it never will. Philosophy cannot touch the heart. Philosophy cannot comfort the heart. Philosophy cannot bind up the heart. They tried to minister him with their philosophical sayings and speeches. They also made the mistake of thinking that Job's sorrows and Job's afflictions had come upon him as the result of Job's sin. They were mistaken, of course. We know that from the Lord's own testimony of Job. For the Lord said there was none like him. There was not a man like him in all the earth. He was a perfect man. A justified man, as the word means. And he was a man who feared God and eschewed evil. When you fear God, you will automatically eschew evil. Even though they were spoken to Job and on occasion spoken against him, believing that what he was suffering was the result of his sin, Eliphaz then came to Job with this word. Job, because of your sin, what you need to do is acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee. It's because you haven't been acquainted with the Lord, Job. That's why all this has come upon you. Acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace. Thereby good shall come. Nothing but evil has come your way. But if you acquaint yourself with God, then good shall come unto thee. Eliphaz, of course, that even though these words were spoken out of context of Job's sufferings, because what had happened to Job was the work of the devil. We know that from the opening chapters in Job. But even though these words were spoken out of context of Job's sufferings, it was nevertheless good advice that had been given, and advice that we want to take today to our own hearts. Because the Eliphaz's words are part of the inspired word, and so the Lord would say to us today, acquaint now thyself with him, and be at peace, thereby good shall come unto thee. May we acquaint ourselves with God. I want us first of all to consider our acquaintance and relationship with God. Eliphaz felt that Job needed to have a better relationship with the Lord. There is not a Christian, I believe, that is worth his salt, that has any spirituality about him at all. There's not a Christian that would not deny this, that we all need to have a deeper knowledge of God and a better acquaintance with God. We all want to be in a position where we are able to say, the Lord is a close acquaintance of mine. First thing that we want to consider here regarding this acquaintance and our relationship with God is the condescension of God. I cannot help but see the condescension of God here in this text. Eliphaz said to Job, acquaint now thyself with him. Acquaint now thyself with God. Here is the condescension of God. This teaches us that it is possible for mere worms of the dust to be acquainted with God, to know God. Now, there is no way that we can lift ourselves up to God in order that we might be acquainted with him. No, God must come down to us. That is the only way that we can be acquainted with God, is if God comes to us. There's God's condescension. Look at verse 12 of Job 22. Is not God in the height of heaven? And behold, the height of the stars, how high they are. Verse 14, thick clouds are a covering to him that he seeth not, and he walketh in the circuit of heaven. This is the God that Job worshipped, and Job knew, and this is the God that we know, the one who walks in the very circuit of heaven. Turn, please, to Isaiah 40, and we get another glimpse of God the Almighty. Five times in that chapter, Eliphaz referred to Job's God as the Almighty. Isn't it a marvel, a wonder of grace that we are able to be acquainted with God the Almighty? We who are nothing better than mere worms of the dust. Isaiah 40, verse 22. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. The inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain and spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. It's the Almighty. He put the stars in their places. and he knows everyone by name. He sits in the circle of the earth. He is the Almighty. Verse 25, to whom then will ye liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things, that bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power, not one faileth. There's the Almighty. And yet it is possible for we who are grasshoppers, in God's eyes, it is possible for us to be acquainted with God. There's God's condescension. He condescended to dwell with his people. He who dwells in the circle of the earth was pleased to come down and dwell with his people. We know that from Exodus 29 and verse 45. And I will dwell among the children of Israel, and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God, that brought them forth out of the land of Egypt, that I may dwell among them. I am the Lord their God. And the Lord dwelt with his people there in the wilderness. When the children of Israel saw the cloudy pillar hovering over the holiest of all in the tabernacle, they knew God was in their midst. And when that fiery pillar burned at night, and in the darkness they could see that fiery pillar, the children of Israel knew that God was in their midst. He came and dwelt with his people. So it was throughout the Old Testament. God dwelt with his people at various times, and he visited them and spoke with them and sat with them. God's condescension. God came down and dwelt with his people. But how may a sinful creature of the dust get to know God and be acquainted with him? There is only one way whereby we may be acquainted with God. There's only one way that we can get to know God, get to know the Almighty, get to know the one who sits in the circle of the earth. There's only one way. Jesus Christ is that way. The only way a person can know God is through Jesus Christ. John 14, those very familiar words. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. How do we know the Father? We can know the Father through knowing Jesus Christ. That's how we can become acquainted with God, through Jesus Christ. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus saith unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? If you know me, then you know the Father. If you're acquainted with me, then you are acquainted with the Father. Then you know God. So we have there the condescension of God. But then, as far as Eliphaz was concerned, between Job and the Lord, there was a controversy. Eliphaz believed there was a controversy between Job and God. We belong to the Lord. We know God through Jesus Christ, the God-man. We are acquainted with Him. But we might ask ourselves today this question, how well do we know God? Yes, we know Him in Christ. That's our standing. That's our relationship. But how well do we know Him in fellowship? If the answer comes back today to the question, how well do we know God, and we answer, not very well, but then here is a word for us. Here is a word for you. If you don't know God all that well, then acquaint now thyself with Him and be at peace, thereby good shall come unto thee. Paul wanted to be better acquainted with God. From the moment he knew Christ, from the moment he met Christ, from the moment he received Christ, that was his continual prayer, that I might know Him. And the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings being made conformable unto His death. Philippians 3:10. Paul was always wanting to be better acquainted with God, to know Him in a deeper way. If we want to know the Lord, even as Paul wanted to know the Lord, then let us this day acquaint now ourselves with Him. But Eliphaz felt that there was something wrong between Job and his God. He felt there was a controversy there with God. Eliphaz felt that Job had suffered all this evil because he had grieved the Lord through his sin. He was mistaken, as we've already pointed out. Job 1 verses 1 and 8 tells us that he was justified man, and he eschewed evil. He loved God and he lived for the Lord. But it is true that we sometimes have a controversy with God. There can be something wrong in your life and mine. Maybe that controversy involves backsliding. If so, there's someone today backslidden in heart, and we need to acquaint now ourselves with God. That was the reason for the controversy that existed between God and Israel that is recorded in the book of Micah. Micah chapter 6, and verse 1, we read these words, "Hear ye now what the Lord saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, the Lord's controversy. And ye strong foundations of the earth, for the Lord hath a controversy with His people. He will plead with Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee? Wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me. Here, this is the controversy of the Lord. And it was a controversy between God and His people. And the Lord pleads with His people and says, wherein have I wearied thee? What have I done to make you turn away from me? This was the controversy that existed. There was only one thing to do. For we read there in Micah 6 again, this time verses 6 and 8. Verse 6, wherewith shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before the high God? There's only one thing. That is, Israel had to come before God, acquaint themselves with God. Verse 8, He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly, acquaint themselves with the Lord. Because they had become estranged from Him, their sin had come between them and the Lord. And they were now living apart, as it were, from the Lord, living afar off. They had to acquaint themselves with Him. Maybe someone today, you've drifted away from the Lord. You no longer walk with the Lord. You're no longer in speaking terms with the Lord. Prayer is non-existent in your life. For years you've been living apart from the Lord. A little phrase in a verse in 1 Thessalonians 5 that caught my eye right on Wednesday night past in our Bible study. And they underlined it at the time. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 10. Concerning the Lord Jesus Christ who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with Him. Living together with the Lord. That term is used quite often in this world today in a sinful sense. But here we have it used in the highest sense, in the most spiritual sense, living together with the Lord. And we might ask ourselves today the question, am I living together with the Lord? Am I living with Him day and night? He died for us, shed His blood for us, that He might save us. And being saved that we might live together with Him. If we have become backslidden in heart and sin has come between us and God, what need we do? We need to acquaint ourselves with Him. We need to get back together with the Lord. Oh, the relationship has remained the same. Yes, we're still saved and belong to the Lord, but what about the fellowship? Where is it today? Acquaint now thyself with Him. That's what we need to do if we're no longer living together with the Lord. Now, to get acquainted with the Lord, there needs to be communication with the Lord. Acquaint now thyself with Him. We have already established there's only one way that a soul can be acquainted with God and get to know God. That's through Jesus Christ. But how do we maintain that acquaintance? How do we maintain the fellowship with our God? How do we continue to live together with the Lord? We must maintain a line of communication. That's how we acquaint ourselves with the Lord, through communication with God. You will never get to know anyone. Never. It is impossible to get to know someone if you never communicate with them. Stands to sense. There's only one way you can get to know an individual, and that is through communicating with that individual. How do we get to know God in a deeper way? How do we grow in grace? How are we brought nearer to the Lord? How may we become better acquainted with the Lord? Number one, through the Word of the Lord. We get better acquainted with God, we get to know the Lord in a better way through His Word, the study of His Word. His own special revelation of Himself to us. God's creation is a revelation of God the Creator. But God gave us His Word, His special revelation of Himself. It's the only way we can get to know God is through His Word. Through the written Word and through Jesus Christ the Incarnate. We cannot know God apart from His Word. To become better acquainted with God, we must become better acquainted with His Word. It was the great controversy the Lord had with His people, Israel, that Hosea spoke about. If you turn, please, to Hosea. Hosea chapter 4. And here we have a most solemn chapter in this book of the prophet Hosea chapter 4. Hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God in the land. Why is there no knowledge of God? Because there's no truth in the land. How do we get to know God? Through His truth. Through His Word. Look at that verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If ever there was a word for this day, it is that word. Hosea 4, verse 6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. And how true that is. Lack of knowledge. Lack of knowledge of the truth of God. God's people will run here, there, and yonder, tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. Why? Because they don't have a knowledge of the truth. That's what it all comes down to. And they don't know the God of the Bible. Don't know the God of the Bible because they don't know the Bible. They don't know God's Word. There is a great lack of knowledge, a knowledge of God and a knowledge of His truth. That was the controversy. That was part of the controversy. Hear the word of the Lord, O children of Israel. For the Lord hath a controversy with the inhabitants of the land, because there is no truth, nor mercy, nor knowledge of God. Truth came first, then the knowledge of God. So to know God, we need to get into the Word. To know God, we need to wait upon God. Not only do we need to get into the Word of God, we need to wait upon God. Another way of becoming better acquainted with God is through waiting upon Him at the throne of grace. Never know God in a deep way if we do not pray. Never. A man who is truly acquainted with God is a man of prayer. How often have we referred to the likes of McShane and the Bonner brothers? Oh, men who knew God. It was said of Andrew Bonner when he came out of the minister's room and stepped into the pulpit. It was as if he had come out of the immediate presence of God. These men knew God because these men knew how to pray. That's how we know God. We know Him through prayer. Can we deny that the man who spends many hours in prayer is not better acquainted with God than the man who doesn't pray? And pray at all. It is only through communicating with the Lord in prayer that we may become better acquainted with Him. We're better acquainted with the Lord through the Word of God, through waiting upon God, and through walking with God. Here is another means of communication, walking with God. My, what a life Enoch must have had. How Enoch must have known God. Because Enoch walked with God for how long? For 300 years. After the birth of Methuselah, Enoch walked with God. And he walked with God for 300 years. When you look at the age of Enoch, 365. I was going to say he died a relatively young man, but of course he didn't die at all. The Lord translated him, but he was taken out of this world a relatively young man. But for most of his life, he walked with God. And as he walked with God high, he was a my, how Enoch must have known the Lord. Oh, let us desire Enoch's walk with God. Because if we walk with Him, we'll be better acquainted with Him. We'll know Him in a way that we've never known Him before. How else may we be better acquainted with the Lord? Through the worship of God. You would soon get to know someone if you're in and out of their house every day. Be
Maybe it wouldn't be such a good idea to be in and out of a neighbor's house every day, but I know one thing, you'd soon get to know them, and they'd soon get to know you. But the point that we're making is regular attendance in the house of God and the worship of God will deepen our acquaintance, will increase our knowledge of the Lord. We will become better acquainted with the Lord. Attending to the hearing of His Word, sitting at His table, going to the Lord's table, we'll get to know God in a greater way. Acquaint now thyself with Him and be at peace. And Eliphaz went on to say, thereby good shall come unto thee. My time has beaten me. Morning. I wanted to get this finished, but we've just got to the end of the first point, and we'll conclude our message this evening. Let us unite our hearts together in prayer. Eternal, loving Father and gracious God, how we thank Thee for the teaching and the instruction that we receive, Lord, from the Holy Spirit. The one who we promised would lead us into all truth. O Lord, teach us more and more and more about Thee. We want to, Lord, know more about Thee, be better acquainted with Thee. O gracious Lord, we want to know Thee in that way that Paul wanted to know Thee. Gracious Lord, may we know Thee as Enoch knew Thee. As we walk with Thee for those many, many years. How, Lord, He must have known Thee in a deep way. Lord, when we look at Enoch and we look at Paul, we look at Job, realize, O Lord, that we fall short of really knowing. Father, forgive us today. Wash away our sins. The sin, Lord, of not knowing Thee in the way that we should. And, O Lord, bring us into that walk with God, that Enoch knew You. Write the Word in our hearts. Gracious Father, take us now to our homes in safety. And as we go, Lord, may the Holy Spirit bring the Word before us that we might meditate upon it, mull it over, and gracious Lord, inwardly digest Thy precious Word. Be with each one, Lord, as we leave the house of God. Be with us, Lord, tonight as we return to hear more about being acquainted with God. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit abide and remain with us now and forevermore.